So, church, we now have a great friend of Hillside coming to share the word with us this morning. So, why don't we welcome Pastor Kyla McDonald?
Thanks, Craig, and it's lovely to be back here. I always feel very welcomed, and so does all my family. So, thanks for welcoming back like I've never left. It's really lovely. It's like kind of like when you leave home and you kind of go out, and then when you come back home, it still feels like home. So it's a bit like this. It will always be very, dear in my heart. So today I want to share a message, but before I do, I just want to speak into tonight. You might be wondering, who are these school of prophets? It might sound a little bit strange, like you think of Elijah and how they all came out of the desert with their school of prophets and think. But we're not crazy, we're not strange. And last year we did a course called School of Prophets for, I think it was about 8 months. School of Prophets is run out of Melbourne by a couple who are prophets called Gary and Sarah Morgan. And they had the vision a few years ago to really train up people how to move in the prophetic and how to hear the voice of the Lord and how to minister in that way. And so they started doing it in Melbourne. But then they had a vision of seeing hubs in other states. So they have one in Brisbane, one in Perth. And so last year was the first year we did the hub in Perth. And there was about 40 people that came. One lady even travelled up every week from Busselton to come and do the School of Prophets up to Mosman Park. We ran it out of Urban Church. And every Monday we were trained really in more about, or first up, more about the Father's heart. Because if we don't know the Father's heart and we don't understand the Father's heart, when we do share his heart, it's not reflective of who our Father is. So we had to, sometimes our filters or our lenses can be a little bit wonky or a little bit misaligned. And so a lot of the journey was making sure our filters were in line with what the Father's heart was. So we had to do a lot of inner work and inner things in our heart, and then learning how to step out. And we did a lot of, I guess, what we call practice, where we had lots of what we call presbyteries, where we would do what we're doing tonight. So we will be in about groups of three and groups scattered around the church, and then people would come and sit and have people pray for them and encourage them and bless them. And so that's what tonight will be. Pastor Craig and Pastor Kerry will be ushering people to the groups. And I really encourage you that the Lord really wants to speak to his children, but that's not just the older ones. It includes all ages. And I really believe the Lord wants to encourage the actual kids. So if you have kids, never think they're too young to be encouraged in the prophetic. One of the things that Urban Church has done is they've trained their kids how to hear the Lord, and they've actually done mini because there's not as many of them, but prayer tunnels, and they had kids come through those prayer tunnels, and the kids were laying hands on one another and prophesying over them and encouraging them. And so I believe the Lord wants to do a real impartation with the young kids too. So tonight's not just even about hearing the word, it's an impartation, I believe, and there's going to be something special that comes upon this house, a real blessing. Says something like, if you honour the prophets, you receive a blessing, or you receive the prophet's reward. So I believe there's a real blessing coming upon this house because of what's happening in the spirit tonight. So if you are bringing kids, it's public holiday tomorrow, so perfect timing. We will make the families go first so that you don't have to stay around. You can then go home with your kids. And yeah, I really encourage you to come ready. The other thing is bring a recording device. We always like to have the words recorded, so there's accountability, but also it's hard to sometimes remember. And then we think people have said that, but they actually haven't. And so it's really good to have it recorded. So if you have a phone, you can put it on voice memo, I think it's called, or audio, and you can record. And we've learnt it's quite intimidating at the start when you've got a phone shoved in your face and you're like, right, ready, set, go, prophesy. That can be quite intimidating. But we've learned to just thank the Lord for you and see what he brings. And so there's no pressure. It's just receive an encouragement from him. So come with your phones. If you don't have a phone, that records, and bring a notebook and pen. There'll be tea and coffee here tonight as well. And we just really encourage you to make space for the Holy Spirit. and not to look to man, not to look to woman, but look to Jesus, because he's the one that brings the word. So we're not special, we're just instruments that he wants to use. Okay, Pastor Harry asked me to ask a show of hands who might be coming so we can kind of organize and prepare ourselves. So if you know you're definitely coming, then can you just raise your hands and then you can, Pastor Harry, do you want to have a look? So this, take your names. So I'd say like pretty much everyone's coming, which is going to be awesome. We have about a team of about 15 to 17 people coming tonight. So we'll have about 4 to 5 groups and we're going to be blessed tonight. I'm looking forward to it. So before I get into my message, I wanted to share a dream I had about this church. A few weeks ago, I dreamt that I was here today and I got up and the Spirit of the Lord hit me and I started prophesying. And I actually woke up and I remembered the word that the Lord had for you, well, part of the word. And anyway, I kind of thought, oh, maybe it was just a dream. And I mentioned it to Carrie the other day. And he's like, you have to share that. So I spent some time waiting on the Lord just to kind of bring back the dream. And I just want to share. But who knew that you could prophesy in your sleep? So that's pretty exciting. But the word I got for you was realign. I believe the Lord is bringing a realignment to this house. The word realign means to adjust, to rearrange, to straighten, restore, and manipulate. And I believe the Lord is bringing a realignment corporately to this house, but also individually to hearts. He's shifting, well, I believe he wants to shift old mindsets and old ways and remove blockages and realigning things back into line with his heart and his ways. Not to say that what has been wrong or out of line, but I believe that the Lord wants to do a new thing and he's got new wine for us to carry. And if we're going to carry new wine, the Bible says, how can we carry it in old wineskins? So I believe that he's realigning, renewing. And the thing about this is not to resist his realigning process. The Bible says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past, for I'm doing a new thing. The past wasn't bad. It was just the Lord wanted to do something new. And it says, do you not perceive it? Other thing was, do not be afraid of the refining and the realigning, but trust me. For I'm a good shepherd and I want to lead my people into green pastures. And I was looking up the passage about the wineskins and I found it really interesting that the word for new, the new wine, the word for new actually means new, like brand new. The Lord wants to do a new thing. But the word for new wine skins actually doesn't mean brand new. It means renew. And so what they would do was the old wine skins that couldn't contain the new wines, otherwise it would burst. It was hard. So the Bible talks about how it needed to... they needed to have new wineskins, and the process for that was they used to soak them in water and oil to soften them. And the water, I believe, speaks of the Word of God. The oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. And as we allow the Word to wash over us and transform and renew our mind, and as we allow the Holy Spirit to adjust these things, he prepares us as vessels that can contain the new wine. So he wants to realign, he wants to renew. And then the third picture I had was of an eagle. And I saw this massive eagle, but his wing was broken. And I saw the physician coming and bandaging up the eagle's wing so that it could soar again and it could fly again. And I'm not sure if that's because there may be disappointment or hurt or weariness, what has caused the broken wing, but the verse Isaiah 40, verse 31 came to mind. And it says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. So realign, renew and repair in order to bring new strength, new wine. So that's what I have for you. I hope that blesses you today. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that you're a good God. Father, I thank you that you are a shepherd that wants to bring us into green pastures and fresh pastures, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you lead us beside still waters, that you restore our soul, that you renew us, that you realign, and things that, Father, that need to shift, I pray a shifting would happen. Father, I pray that we would not be afraid of the process, but we would surrender our ways to you, surrender our plans, surrender the ways of thinking, Father, and allow you to do the work you need to do so that we can contain the new wine that we can carry for this community and this city and this nation. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I want to carry on from that word and look at unblocked ears and focus today on Isaiah 50, who spoke of Jesus as the obedient servant who had open ears to hear the word that sustained the weary. In order to realign, we need to align our hearts and our minds to what God is saying and to see and hear things from his perspective and not our own. So today we're going to look at unblocking some ears today. I don't know if anyone's got blocked ears, but it was interesting that this week I spoke to two people who said to me, "Can you please speak a little louder, Carla? My ears are blocked and I can't quite hear." And so that was really good confirmation that I was on the right track. So in the natural, we can get blocked ears, but spiritually, we can also get blocked ears, full of wax, full of gunk, full of whatever that needs to be taken out so that we can hear afresh what God is saying. So Isaiah 50, verse 4-5 in the New King James Version. "The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away." As I said, this verse is talking about Jesus, the obedient servant and disciple who was the one who knew how to speak a word in season to the weary, to the worried, and to the wayward. He was able to have his ears open so that he knew what his father was saying and to be a mouthpiece for his father. We too are Christ's disciples and friends, and the Lord so longs to speak into our hearts and to speak through us. And he wants us to impart wisdom and encouragement and a timely word to those that need it. Some of the ways in which he does that is through the spiritual gift of prophecy, which is what we've been speaking about. Other ways is through the gift of encouragement. And these are the gifts the Holy Spirit has given to the church to edify it, to build it up, and to strengthen it. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he says, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy." In verse 12, he continues to say, "Since you're eager for the gifts, try and excel in the ones that build up the church." Simply defined, prophecy is speaking forth the heart of God over a person, place, or situation for the purpose of encouragement, comfort, and strength by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 of chapter 14 talks about the purpose of prophecy is for encouragement, comfort, and strength. One may think that God hasn't given them this gift, and that's what I used to think. I thought, you know, the Holy Spirit came out with his gifts and he just kind of threw them out like this, and if you got landed prophecy, well, that was great, and if you got landed, healing, that was great, and if you got landed faith and whatever was your gift, you just automatically operated in that, and you had to still exercise it. But what I believe is that it says eagerly desire the gifts of prophecy. And so if we actually ask the Lord, then we can believe that he's given it to us. It says God's children all hear his voice. And essentially prophecy is hearing the voice of the Lord. And so I want to encourage you, if you don't feel like you have the gift of prophecy, ask the Lord and believe that he's given it to you. But then it says, I encourage you to excel in the ones that build up the church. That says to me that we have to actually excel. We have to actually work at them. We have to practice. And that sounds really unspiritual, doesn't it? If it's spiritual gifts, shouldn't we just be, bam, you've got the gift? But we actually have to receive it by faith, but then actually use the gift so that it grows and step out and all of that. And so I encourage you, excel in the ones that build up the church. The challenge for us is not that God's speaking. God is always speaking, but it's simply learning to recognize the voice of God and hear what he's saying. Revelation 3 says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." Sometimes our ears get blocked and we find it hard to hear what he's saying. And there's times that we get really confused. Lord, what are you saying? It looks like you're saying this, but then you're saying that and you're saying that. And we get so stuck sometimes in what we feel like the Lord's saying. And there's other times that we hear correctly, but as I said before, our filters or our lenses can be a bit off. And so we misinterpret what he's saying because we process it through our hermeneutical lens. Wouldn't it be nice sometimes if God just spoke a little louder? If he just spoke a little clearer, wouldn't that be lovely? The issue, however, is not that God would speak more clearly, but we would listen more clearly, that we would listen more intently. As I said before, our natural ears can be blocked, but so can our spiritual ears. And I believe today the Holy Spirit is going to pop some ears. You know how sometimes you don't even realize your ears blocked until suddenly it pops? And then you think, wow, I can hear so much more clearer now. I believe that's going to happen today. There's just going to be a unblocking. And you're going to be, wow, I can hear so much more clearer and see much more clearly. I want to show you a little story of what can happen when we're hard of hearing and our ears are a bit blocked. So you want to turn to the screens. This poor little detective had blocked ears.
Oh, you're back.
Yeah. So, can I come in?
Who's this?
Warren.
Hello.
I said warrant. You're not coming in without a warrant.
I bet it's a cat burglar. Hmm. More.
He thought it was a cat burglary, and so he thought he said cat burglar.
I need the inspector now.
He's in the lab, sir.
Inspector, you in the lab?
Art exhibits.
Ooh,
biscuits. Are these homemade?
What's going on?
I got a lullaby out of him.
We're supposed to get his alibi.
What are you doing, sir?
Carrying out this frenzied test.
Forensic test.
Oh, what are you doing?
Yeah, we're planning a warehouse rave.
It's a warehouse raid.
Oh, book DJ Dave.
Detective, where are you?
I'm in the steakhouse.
I said the steakhouse.
Sir?
Yeah, no problem, Inspector. Oh, we've got 40 ladies coming in on a trip from the church.
40? For a strip search?
So, what's the crime?
About 10:30.
Oh, you're back.
Yeah. That's so, it. Can I come in?
Who's this?
Warren.
Hello.
So the guy asked for a warrant, but he bought Warren. That was... We can turn it off now. Thank you, Sam. That's what happens when we don't hear correctly. We can get into all sorts of pickles and muck all things up. And so we need to, I guess, learn to have hearing and hear correctly. But he wasn't the only one who was hard of hearing. There were times the disciples of Jesus were limited in their spiritual perception and understanding, and their ears and eyes had become blocked. And one of these moments was found in Mark 8. This story tells about how Jesus had just finished feeding 4,000 people, and miraculously there were 7 baskets still left over. And it was amazing. Like, he didn't have that much bread, but he was able to feed that many people. And that's not to mention the 5,000 that he fed before with 12 baskets left over. And so what happened was Jesus, after that, is going out with the disciples on a boat. And they are all stressed because they realise they forgot to pack their lunch. All they had between them was one loaf of bread. And so they're stressed out because they think we're not going to have enough to eat all day. This is just after Jesus fed 4,000 people with not much bread. So in verse 16 of Mark 8, it says, "At this they began to argue with each other." This is when they realised they didn't have bread, because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, "Why are you arguing about having no bread? Don't you know or understand even yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? You have eyes, can't you see? You have ears, can't you hear? Don't you remember anything at all?" You can hear the frustration. See, Jesus had been with them for 2 years at this point, or about 2 years. And so then Jesus goes on to remind them, "Hang on, didn't I just feed 4,000 people? Didn't I just feed 5,000 people?" And I find this story so funny, yet sometimes this reflects us. Jesus has just done amazing things, and we find ourselves worried and thinking, what on earth am I going to do in this situation? We too, like Jesus' disciples, can sometimes have ears yet not hear and eyes yet not see. At times, our hearts can still be a bit hardened, and they stop us from understanding and seeing what the Lord wants to do. That's why Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, verse 17 to 18, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened or opened, that you may know the hope, the riches, and the power. So today we're going to look at some things that can help us hear clearly, some things that the Lord wants to unblock in our ears, so that we can speak clearly a word in season to those that are weary. So if we go back to Isaiah 50, this is the text we're going to look at this morning. It says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away." As I said before, this passage speaks of Jesus, and Jesus was the Father's disciple, which meant he submitted to the Father's authority. The Bible says he had a learned tongue, or in other words, the tongue of a disciple, one that only spoke what he heard the Father speak, John 12:49. And because of that, he was able to speak a word in season to the weary, the worried, and the wayward. He had an awakened eye. It says, "Awaken me morning by morning." So he was asleep, he's awoken up, his eyes are open, ready to see and hear what the Father is saying. And it says in John 5:19, "I only do what I see the Father doing." He had an awakened ear. Go to the next slide. Awakened ear. And he's opened my ears to hear. Now the word opened means to unblock, to dig out, to loosen, to one that can hear clearly without interference. I wonder what's in our ears that need to be dug out and loosened. I wonder what interference that needs to be removed so that we can hear clearly. He was not rebellious. The word for rebellious means mara, which can either mean disobedience or it can mean bitter. And he did not turn away. Even in the face of suffering and death, he did not turn away. He goes on to say he set his heart like a flint. He did not flinch, he did not turn back, he did not go back. He did not disobey. And Jesus is our example of someone that had open ears, who was obedient heart, so that he would only do what the Father told him to do, and that he would be one that had a disciple tongue that would speak words of wisdom and encouragement to those that needed it. We also are Jesus' disciples, and so I want to look at this passage in application to us today, because the Lord has also given us a tongue of the disciple. He also wants to open up ears, and he also wants us to speak a word in season to those that need it. So what keeps our ears unblocked? I want to look at it from that perspective today. What keeps our ears unblocked? Now, we're going to look at unblocking of ears. I'm not saying that's the only reason why we don't hear the Lord. There's many other reasons. But today I want to focus just on blockages today. So it says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. The word learn means disciple, one who is taught, under discipline, or pupil. A disciple was a student, and it was one who was open to learning, open to correction, and who was one who was submitted to the authority of the teacher. Their goal was to spread the teaching of the teacher rather than their own, and to be a true disciple, it took humility. Jesus, as we know, was one that was so humble. Philippians 2 talks about this, that Jesus was humble and obedient unto death. He didn't concern himself with his status, even though he was equal to God. He didn't concern himself with his reputation, even though people misunderstood him and falsely accused him. He didn't concern himself with popularity or his rank or the amount of likes or loves he got on social media. He was humble and he boasted only about his Father rather than himself. That was the whole point, to bring glory to the Father. Jesus was also one that was under the authority and discipline of the Father. He submitted himself, willfully chose to submit himself to the Father. Humility allows us to submit to authority, to the authority figures that God has placed. And one of the keys in learning to walk, I believe, with unblocked ears and being effective in our service for the Lord is learning to walk in humility. Learning to submit under the Lord's authority that he's put over us. We see this in 1 Peter 12 and Romans 13. And it can take a lot of humility, can't it? Especially to submit under people that you think shouldn't be there, or you have more experience, or whatever it may be, or you don't like what they're teaching. But the Lord tests our humility, or tests our pride, by placing us in situations where we need to learn to be humble. He did that with the Israelites. He led them to the wilderness to humble them and to test what was in their heart. And we will often find that we go through moments in life where humility is tested, where pride is confronted in our hearts and needs to be dug out. All the great men and women of God through the Bible, Moses was one that heard the Lord so, so clearly. The Lord would meet him on the mountain. But the Lord knew that he could trust him because he was humble. He was a friend to God, and he knew that he would be obedient to what he heard. Humility unblocks our ears to hear and our eyes to see, and it allows us to speak grace and a word in season. On the flip side of that, pride blocks our ears and eyes and prevents us from speaking grace. Isaiah 6 reveals how the prophet Isaiah saw the Lord. It says, in the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And then it goes on to say that he repented because he realized of his sin in his heart. And then after that, he heard the Lord, he obeyed the Lord, and was a spokesman for the Lord. But all of this happened in the year King Uzziah died. Why is that significant? If we jump to 2 Chronicles 26, it tells us a bit more about King Uzziah. King Uzziah was a powerful king until he became proud. And then it says, proud led to his downfall and his sin ruined him. And so in Isaiah 6, it says, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I don't believe that's a coincidence. I believe there was a spirit of pride in that area. The king, you know, looked after the whole nation. And he was a proud king. And he was a disobedient king. But when he died, that pride was broken. And Isaiah saw his sin and he repented and he heard the Lord. Pride needs to die in our lives if we want to be vessels that God can use fully. Because it blocks our ears and our eyes from seeing. But not only that, it blocks the Lord's ears. I had that thought the other day and I was like, what? And then I remembered 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people called by my name would turn from their wicked ways and humble themselves and pray, then I would hear. I heard someone once say that pride is a bit like bad breath. You're the last to know you have it. But if the Lord is so faithful, and if we say, Lord, search my heart and see if there be anything in it, the Lord is not playing hide and seek with us. He's not going to say, hi, you've got pride, but I'm not going to show you. He's going to show us, and he's gracious, and he gives us grace to say no to all ungodliness. Like, he doesn't make us do things in our own strength. He's such a loving Father, and he wants to get rid of these things in our lives for our own benefit and our own good. Because pride can destroy, it leads to our downfall. I remember I've been married now 10 years, and my dating period with Dave, my courtship with Dave, as some of you would testify, was very much like a yo-yo. It was up and down, up and down, up and down. I'm not sure I like him anymore. I'm not sure I want to do this. And it was up and down constantly. And we had our engagement party, and then after our engagement party, I was like, oh, no, I definitely don't love him anymore. No, can't do this. We're going to have to take back all the presents. And, like, I'm making it lighthearted, but it was really serious. There was tears that were, like, really thought this wasn't going to work. I went and saw my dad. I went and saw Sally. I was like, I don't know what to do. But anyway, when I was praying, the Lord gave me a picture of this ugly tree. And no, that ugly tree wasn't Dave, but this ugly tree would grow. And every time I would cut it down, everything would be nice, but then this ugly tree would grow again. And it kept happening. We'd sort it out and everything would be fine. And then this ugly tree would grow. And I was like, the Lord showed me that the problem was I hadn't got to the roots. So I was sharing this revelation with Dad. And I said, Dad, I don't know what the roots are. But I said, I think I'm better than him. And now I know that I am. But back then I thought, no, joke. Back then I thought I was better than him, that he wasn't good enough for me. Isn't that awful? He's such an amazing man. And I realized in that moment it was pride, that the root of my issue, the root of our issue in our relationship was actually pride. And so I was like, Lord, I just repent of this pride. Would you just take it from me? And I'm not joking. That day was the defining moment where we never went yo-yo again. I mean, we've had our moments, but there was never like, it was never that bad ever, ever again. There was something that was broken that day. And pride does that. And we don't even know that it's in our heart, but the Lord is so loving and kind that he wants to show us so that we can be clean, so that we can be set free, so we can be unblocked and hear him and see him and be used by him. Pride is the root of so many problems that we don't even realize. Pride is the root, I've learned, of insecurity, of perfectionism. I'm sometimes scared of making the right decision or having the perfect sermon. And you know what it is? It's actually pride. So how do I walk in humility? This week I just had this revelation of the key to walking in humility was love. Because 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love is not proud. It does not boast. And the opposite to love in 1 Corinthians 13 is actually not hate. And I thought, well, just see if I'm on the right track. So I Googled it. And John Piper said the same thing. So I'm like, well, I must be right then. But I wasn't proud. I was very humble in my revelation. But if you think about it, pride is rude. I'm going on 1 Corinthians 13. Pride is impatient. Pride boasts. Pride dishonors. Pride is self-seeking. Pride is easily angered. Pride keeps records of wrongs. Pride delights in evil. Pride always fails. But love is the opposite. The Father, or Jesus, always walked in love. He always saw through the eyes of love. Let's be people that walk in humility and love. The second thing that keeps our ears open is intimacy. It says, he awakens me morning by morning. And one of Jesus's, well, the greatest thing in Jesus being able to hear the Father so clearly was his intimacy with the Father. He spent time with the Father, knowing his voice, recognizing his voice. And I believe the enemy tries to keep us so busy and distracted and worried about stuff that we don't learn to be quiet before the Lord and just sit still with him. And I know there are seasons. Being a mother of young children, it's hard at times, but the Lord is so gracious in those seasons. And it's not about having, you know, if I don't have 5 hours, the Lord's not going to speak. It's just this heart that says, Lord, I want to be in your courts. I want to be in your presence. I want to know you. I'm not running after a word. I'm running after you. We need to be, I guess, quiet in our hearts, because the main way the Lord speaks is in that gentle, quiet whisper. And sometimes we're looking for the big bang, the storm or the Elijah. There was fire, the storm, but it was in the gentle whisper, in the quiet wind. The third thing that keeps our ears open is obedience. It says, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. As I said, rebellion comes from the word mara, which means either disobedience or it means bitterness. So we're going to look at both today. But both can harden our hearts and stop us from hearing the Lord. Jesus was the obedient servant who did what the Father said. His heart was, Lord, I want to do your will, even if it means death for me. That was his heart. In contrast to that was Israel, who was so disobedient that their ears were blocked and their hearts hardened. Hebrews 3 talks about that. That their sin of disobedience was the fact that they had unbelief, and that is what hardened their heart and stopped them from hearing. The Lord often tests our obedience. And one of the ways in growing and hearing the Lord is obeying those things that he says when we don't want to, when it's not convenient, when it's not comfortable, when it's not even common sense. It's learning to obey the Lord. And do you know what? Sometimes we get it wrong, but the Lord looks at the heart. I remember when I was 14, some of you may have heard this story, but I really wanted to go on a missions trip. So Dad was taking a team to China. So I had the privilege of going to China and smuggling Bibles from Hong Kong into China. And so we met with an organization called Open Doors in Hong Kong. And we talked about the plan, how to go into China undetected. Because back in those days, it was before China took back over. I think England was still in charge back then. And back in those days, you weren't allowed, I don't know what the rules are now, but you weren't allowed any Bibles, and you were not allowed. And there'd been warehouses that had been found and burnt down just before we got there. There'd been people that were caught and confiscated off. And for a 14-year-old, it was really exciting. I felt like I was on Mission Impossible, you know. And I was so excited, like I was telling all my friends, I'm going to China to smuggle Bibles. But I probably actually didn't say that because we had to keep it really under hush. But I felt like a secret agent. Anyway, one night, on our last night before we were meant to be going through the border by the train station. That was our plan. There were 13 of us and we were meant to all kind of spread out and mingle in or blend in with the locals. That was the plan. And the Bibles were hidden all through our clothes, and hopefully the scanners just wouldn't pick them up, that we're praying that their eyes would be blinded. So sometimes blind eyes are good. We don't want all eyes open all the time. Anyway, the Lord spoke to me as a 14-year-old and told me that we weren't to go through the train way, we were to go through the bus way, another way into China, and gave me a scripture. And so I brought it to the team, and I'm so grateful for my dad, who never let age get in the way of hearing the Lord. And he recognized it as a word of the Lord, and he said, okay, we're going a different way. We're going through the bus station. Anyway, when we got to the bus station, there were no locals. We stuck out like a sore thumb. It was a public holiday and it should have been packed, but there was no one there but us. And when we went through the scanners, the amazing thing was all the security people weren't there either. and all the scanners were off. And we found out later what had happened was because of the public holiday, they were all transferred to the train station and all the men and women had gone over there. And so it left the bus place where they thought no one would really be going through vacant for us to walk in with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Bibles all the way up to Janet Stewart in Northwest China. How amazing is that? Obedience, even if it doesn't make sense. And I'm not saying don't test that. Like sometimes we get some strange things and I think it's wise to ask for wisdom and ask for confirmation. But let's be obedient because who knows what will happen when we are obedient. The final thing that opens our ears to hear is healed hearts. I was trying to think of an opposite for bitterness and I just felt like the Lord wants to heal hearts of bitterness. And when he does that, he softens them and he opens them to be able to hear him afresh. Mara comes from the root word also meaning bitterness, and that can block us. Whether we carry it ourselves or whether we are listening to it from others, the Bible says it can defile many. And there was a picture of bitterness in Exodus, and I'm going to look at that story. In Exodus 15, the children of Israel were being led from the Red Sea through the desert, and for 3 days they had no water. This is in verse 22 to 24. They finally arrived after 3 days of no water at an oasis, only to find the water was too bitter to drink. Now that would be disappointing. That would make me probably quite bitter. That I had gone without water. I had trusted my leader and I'd been led to this place where the water was not able to be drunk. So they called this place Mara, meaning bitter. Now Mara was shallow waters. And really, I believe it was a reflection of their heart. Because the Bible says that their lives were made bitter. If we go back to Exodus 1. 13 to 14, we read about their lives that were made bitter by their hard bondage and their slavery in Egypt. So what did Moses do at Mara? He called out to the Lord and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. And he threw that wood in the waters and the waters were made good and were healed and they drank. I believe that wood represents the cross. That when bitterness is thrown at the foot of the cross, it is our bitterness is healed and the waters are turned good. It goes on in verse 25 to 27 of Exodus 15. It says, he then led them to Elim, a beautiful oasis with palm trees and deep water to drink from. And that was a real picture of abundance. That the Lord brought healing to the bitterness and then brought them to abundance. Bitterness comes when we don't deal with the hurts and the offences. And what happens is it becomes poison that we drink and that we offer others. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it defiles many, Hebrews 12 says. I'm going to read Hebrews 12, verse 12 to 15. It says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled. King James says, may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter roots grow up to cause trouble and defile many. The Lord longs that our hearts are healed and that the crooked places are realigned, are straightened and made straight again. The context for this whole verse was discipline, that the Lord was training them in love. And the Lord trains us in love. You know, he aligns, he disciplines, he corrects, he trains, he restores, he manipulates, and he unblocks our ears and our hearts so that we can hear with fresh ears and fresh eyes. Today we looked at there are times we find it hard to hear the Lord. And one of those times is when our ears are blocked and we don't see things from heaven's perspective. If we ask the Lord, he's a good father, and he will show us that there's things in our hearts that need to be corrected and healed. But sometimes there's nothing in our heart that the Lord reveals, yet we still find we can't seem to hear the Lord and it's blocked. What do we do then? When God seems silent and we know there's nothing here that's stopping it, what is that about? I was reminded of Daniel. You remember when Daniel was asking the Lord for a word and he heard nothing, and he was having the prayer and fasting time, and at the end of the fasting, the angel came to him with the word and said he'd been warfaring in the heavenlies because the enemy had tried to stop the word of the Lord getting through. Sometimes it can be that. And fasting is a really good place, and prayer and worship breaks that, because fasting doesn't make God speak more clearer or more loudly. It means that all the interference and all the clutter and everything goes so that we can hear more clearly. The other thing is, sometimes the Holy Spirit says, you choose. You make the decision. Recently, I was faced with that, and I was like, God, what are you saying? And I felt the Lord say through a prophetic word, you choose. You make the decision, because we're not meant to be robots. God is not meant to dictate every minute of every day. But you said, well, didn't Jesus only ever do what he heard the Father saying and doing? Yes, but that's because he knew the Father's heart. He knew his Father, but the Father, I don't believe, told him when to eat lunch and what to eat for lunch and do this and do that all the time. He stepped out because he knew the Father's heart. And there were times the disciples, sometimes they even pulled lots, but sometimes they just made the decision and they trusted that whether they went to the left or the right, the Lord would go with them. The Lord is wanting mature children. And the only way sometimes you can train children in the way they should go, but when you really know what's in their heart and what's really in their character is when you let them choose for themselves. I just want to read you something that I read from Dallas Willard. In his book, Hearing God, he says, people with a mature vision of God and extensive experience in his ways have no need to be obsessively anxious about making the right decision. For the most part, they will simply know what is right, but their confidence is finally not in a word from the Lord, but in the Lord who is with us. And I guess that's more about hearing the Lord for yourself. We've been speaking about hearing the Lord for others, but in whatever way, the Lord longs to speak to his children. And sometimes he needs to unblock our ears and our eyes and soften our hearts so that we can hear the word clearly. And there are sometimes that there's a spiritual battle going on. And I just sensed that there were some people here that you've just felt like you've been under this cloud of confusion. But as you look up to where your help comes from and lift your eyes up to where your help comes from and worship and praise him, I just feel like you're going to soar up on wings of eagles and break through that cloud of confusion. And then the other times the Lord says, hey, you've sought confirmation, you've prayed, you've fasted, now you choose. I trust you. Your heart is obedient, your heart is surrendered, your heart is humble, but I'm teaching you to be mature and to walk by faith, not by sight. We're going to have a quiet time with the Lord. I want to play a song, and I just want us to reflect. Lord, is there anything that needs unblocking in me today? I just had a picture of the Holy Spirit with his big oil can, And a friend of mine was telling me that when her husband's ears become so blocked, the doctor has taught her to syringe oil into his ears and then plunge it all out, and it unblocks it. And I just when she said that, I just had this picture of the Holy Spirit going around with his oil and just pouring it into people's ears. And the word of God, the water, is another way you unblock ears. And it just popping. So let's spend some time with the Lord. And then I'm just going to ask Kay after the song just to have some quiet music. And if you need some prayer ministry time as well, people praying for you, feel free to come forward. Let me just pray, sorry. Father, we can keep playing the song, that's all right. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that you're always faithful. Father, would you just, Holy Spirit, come right now. Would you come and just open up our ears,
Jesus,
and
hearts. The lover of my soul, the one who's in control. When all the world fails me, Jesus, the one who draws me near, whose voice I long to hear. The one who is in me, on you who calms the seas, on you who loves to speak to me, on you I will wait patiently. And I will wait to hear your voice in the midst of this noise. You're all I want to hear, God. As long as it takes for the silence to break, you're all I want to hear, God. Jesus, the lover of my soul, the one who's in control when all the world fails me. Jesus, the one who draws me near, whose voice I long to hear. The one who is in me, on you who calms the sea. So I will wait to hear your voice in the midst of this noise. You're all I want to hear, God. So I will.
just thank you that you're here. Just feel like there's some people here that your rational mind has actually been your block. Your logic mind, well, the Lord's given you that, but it's actually been your block. Because you're always trying to analyze, you're trying to make things logical. But it says that it's the children, it's the, you need a heart of a child to come to the Father. And we need a heart of faith that doesn't try and analyze everything and try and work things out. But we actually need faith that bypasses logic. And I just feel like that's a block for someone right now, that the Lord wants just to unblock and release a heart of faith. So Father, if there's people here that just need an impartation of faith, that we would have ears and eyes of faith, I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would just give them that gift of faith. One of the things that we learned in the School of Prophets is often it's the first thought that is the Lord's, but then what we do is our second, third, fourth, fifth thought is what tries to analyze it, and then we confuse it. But it's often the first thought is the Lord's. I don't know if that's a key for someone, but I just feel like the Lord's saying, it was the first thought I gave you, that was me. Stop trying to analyze it. Stop trying to pull it apart and dissect it. But just trust the simple voice of the Father. Don't overcomplicate it. I feel like there's some people here that complication has been your block. That you're overcomplicating everything. That you're thinking too much about everything. The Lord just wants to bring simplicity back. Thank you, Father. The other thing I got was, I believe the Lord wants to heal or breaks cynicism, cynical. That I don't know if someone's spoken words of you before and nothing's come to pass of those words and disappointment set in, or if you've witnessed people having words spoken and just nothing seems to come off it. I feel like the enemy's come in and he's brought a cynical spirit, and that's actually blocked you from receiving what it has for you. Just feel like the Lord wants to break that off, break off any disappointment, break off any false words that were spoken over you that weren't of the Lord, that weren't his heart. See, we're imperfect people and we don't always get it right. That's why the Bible says to test the word. But in testing the word, we also need to receive the word by faith, and then it says to use the word to warfare. That sometimes it often doesn't automatically happen, and there's a warring process that needs to happen. Childlike faith, I speak over this place today. We'd have childlike eyes that just see everything for the first time. Feel like familiarity has blocked people from seeing afresh. Complacency, the Lord just wants to break off today. Fresh eyes, fresh vision. Father, I pray for people that are feeling disappointed. Disappointments come and it's taken root and it's caused just a blockage. Father, would you come and would you heal disappointments today? Father, we surrender them and lay them at the cross. We break the stronghold that it's had over our lives where we've been tied to the past. I pray, and the past has been hurtful. I pray, break that off in Jesus' name. that we would be set free. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you that you love your people. Father, I thank you're so gentle with us. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're touching hearts and lives and realigning ourselves to your heart and to the way that you see us and what you say over us. Father, I pray that we would be people that know your heart, reflect your heart, and speak your heart to a lost and broken world. Father, would you fill us with your word that we might bring seasoned words to those that are weary. Thank you that your word does not return void, but accomplishes that for which you've sent it. Thank you that you're here. In Jesus' name. I'm going to hand you over to Pastor Kerry to close the meeting.